We're going to look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I want to pose a question this morning to you. And the question is, are you hungry for salvation? So, brother, I already have salvation. But your appetite for God, your understanding of God, your appetite for salvation should be on the increase. Did you put that on my ear? Where'd it go? Here it is. I need help. I'm all tied up. Now, last week we looked at John 5 at the man at the pool of Bethesda.
He's bit me before.
And I. Oh, y'all quit that. That's silly. Don't worry, you'll get me. But what a beautiful picture we saw last week of the grace of God. Salvation is by grace. And here was this man for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, totally helpless and unable to get up. But when Jesus spoke, he got up. That's a picture of salvation. A lot of people are waiting to hear God's voice. How are they going to hear God's voice if somebody doesn't tell them? If you, as a Christian, will share the gospel, God will save the lost. Now today, John chapter 6 is a very long chapter. We're going to go through the whole chapter. Y'all aren't anxious to leave, are you? It's very interesting to be a preacher. I watch y'all every Sunday morning. I can start to see you start squirming. You know, when it gets close to 11, everybody starts squirming. Yeah. What I need to do is send you to a third world country church where we have church all day. Amen. Then you'd appreciate me if I just go 10 minutes over. Now, in this chapter, John chapter 6, I'm going to summarize some of it, and then we're going to dig into a portion of it this morning because I want to show you how your hunger can be satisfied forever. Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and he ministered to the man at the pool of Bethesda, and he left there, and he went to the Sea of Galilee. And there was a great crowd of people there because they'd been hearing and seeing his miraculous signs, how he had healed the sick. News traveled. And the big crowd was gathering. He said to Philip, "Philip, feed these people." And Philip's response was, 8 months of wages wouldn't be enough to feed these people. So, well, what do you have? He said, "Well, there's a boy here that's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes." So Jesus lifted them up to heavens and thanked God for the food. And there was enough food to feed over 10,000 people right then. Man, this caused a stir. Bread was not easy to come by. I mean, after all, you had to plow the ground, you had to plant the seeds, you had to wait for the harvest, you had to harvest the harvest, then you had to grind the wheat and make it into flour, then you had to knead it into bread, and then you had to bake it. There's a lot of work to go into a loaf of bread. And so the news was traveling that this man must be the prophet. The prophet of God has come. And remember, the heavens have been silent for 400 years until John the Baptist came. And all of a sudden there's this stir in Israel. The prophet has come. You know, this demonstration of the multiplying of the bread and the fishes reminded me of something. that God can take nothing and make something out of it. God can take impossibilities and turn them into possibilities. God can take the most difficult circumstances of life and turn them into a glorious demonstration of His grace and power. He can deliver you from your impossibilities, or He can deliver you through your possibilities. In the next section, people are wanting to make Jesus king now. You know what Jesus did? Verse 14, verse 15. He says, so He withdrew to a mountain. They want to make me king now? My hour has not yet come. So I'm withdrawing. I'm removing myself from the crowd, isolating myself because my hour is not come. And so here He was, excluded Himself up on a mountain. And the disciples, they're hanging around, you know, and they said, well, we're going back home. We're going to Capernaum. We don't know where Jesus is. So they left in their boats, and they've paddled for 3 or 3.5 miles across the Sea of Galilee, and the winds are kicking up, and all of a sudden they see Jesus coming, walking on the water. In this account of the gospel, Jesus got in the boat, and then suddenly they were at the shore in Capernaum. You know the other story about how He invited Peter to come out and walk on the water. Peter did. He walked out on the water. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. So then we come to the section that begins with verse 25. People were gathering. They were rowing their boats, it says here, from Tiberias up to Capernaum. It's about 10 miles because they heard that Jesus was there. People were gathering. They were coming by the thousands to hear what this prophet of God had to say. When they found Him on the other side of the lake, verse 25, they asked Him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered. Now watch His words. I tell you the truth. You're looking for Me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. Then they asked Him, well, what must we do to do the works God requires? Now watch His answer. Look at it very carefully. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the One He has sent. The work of God is to believe in the One He has sent. A lot of people, many people, then and today, follow Jesus only for what they can get out of Him. They think that there's something that they can get out of Him, they are willing to follow. They had heard of the miracles, but when He provided bread, man, they come by the thousands. They wanted bread. He said, you don't come because of My miraculous signs. You don't come because of the manifestation of the glory and the power of God, but you're coming because I put something in your belly. In the missions, we call them rice Christians. As long as you've got rice, they come by the hundreds. You cut the rice off, they just soon stay at the house. I suggest to you that we still do the same thing today. We spend a lot of time and energy on what will only meet our immediate temporal needs at the expense of seeking that which will meet our eternal need of salvation. When we stand before God, He will not ask us how much food we had to eat. He will not ask us how much money we laid up in the bank. He will not ask us how many houses we owned or how much entertainment we enjoyed. None of these temporal things will matter on that day. He knew this about the people, and He knows it about us. How'd you like to be living in Japan this morning? Everything is washed away. Tens of thousands of people are gone. You don't know where your children are. Your house, your husband, or your wife. You see those videos of hundreds and thousands of cars just dumping over into the water, just stern, going into nothing. None of those things will matter when you put them into an eternal perspective. What did Jesus do in verse 27? Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. He pointed them to eternal life. He told them there is a bread that will endure to eternal life. What must we do? He said, believe in the one whom the Father has sent. Just like today, a lot of people believe that they must work for their salvation. Well, if I go to church, if I serve in the church, or if I do my duty, or if I give money to the church, or I help the poor, I give alms to the poor, feed the hungry, and at the end, if my good outweighs my bad, I'll go to heaven. I'm sure I will, because God wouldn't send anybody to hell that does good. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says, there's none good, there's none who seek after God. You see, all of that, all of those religious activities are self-centered. If I do this, then I'll go to heaven. But just like the man at the pool of Bethesda, the man who is apart from Christ, the lost man, is dead in his transgressions and sins. He cannot get himself up, and we cannot get ourselves to salvation. It is something that God has to do. So as long as people only seek after God so they can get their physical, material, or temporal needs met, they more than likely will never get what they really need. People come by the church often to try to get their needs met, whether it's an electric bill or something to eat or water, whatever they need. But rarely ever do those people have a concern about eternal life. I'll never forget, one day I was in East Texas and a lady came in, and she had a financial need, and we talked for a little bit, and I just began to share the gospel with her, and she interrupted me right in the middle and says, are you going to help me or not? Oh, I'm telling you, there was so much rage coming up in me. I could have swallowed her whole and spit her in the gutter. Oh, boy, that made me mad. Oh, man, I was ready to... Then got in the flesh, Jimmy. So I sat there for a minute. And I said, yes, ma'am. I'm going to pay your electric bill. And I'm going to continue to tell you that God loves you and Jesus can save you. She was a Jehovah's Witness. She wanted my money or our money, but she didn't want our Jesus. People come all the time to get bread, Jesus says, that spoils. Bread that will only satisfy for a little while, and then it's gone away. And you know, really, we can't begrudge people who come and ask for the temporal needs. We can't feel ill toward the Jehovah's Witness lady that was belligerent. We can't talk down to people who are down and out. They're low enough, amen? That's all they have to work with. That's all they understand is what my needs are right now. I've got to have electricity. I've got to have water. I've got to have a phone. I've got to have bread. I've got to have water. I'm just trying to survive. Will you help me? I'm not saying we shouldn't help people. We should help people because they know that if they ask Christians for help, we'll help them without any expectation of return. Isn't that what Jesus did? You know, there were hundreds and thousands of people in the multitudes in Galilee and in Judea that were healed, and they never came to Christ. They never came. But Jesus helped them anyway. And so that tells me, listen, the miraculous signs that Jesus did were good. They gave him a platform to proclaim the gospel, but those miraculous signs done as making the bread and the fish or healing the man at the pool or whatever miraculous signs he did not bring salvation to everybody. He brought the platform to proclaim salvation. And at the end of the day, when Jesus was arrested and condemned to die, the same ones who were healed were saying, "Crucify him." Because people have a tendency to follow Jesus only because they think that they can get something out of him, that they can manipulate something out of Jesus. But number two, Jesus has revealed to us that he is the Son of God and has come from heaven to bring salvation to the world. Look at verse 32. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he." The bread of God is not it. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. But all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Oh my goodness. Let's go on. Let's keep going. The third thing I want to show you is that salvation begins and ends with God. Salvation begins and ends with... Did you see what those verses said? Jesus said, "You've seen all of these signs. You've eaten the bread and the fish, but you still don't believe. But all whom the Father has given me will believe, and I will never cast them away." There's a process of salvation that is revealed here. At this, the Jews in verse 41 began to grumble about him because I'm the bread of heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'? Stop grumbling among yourselves." Jesus answered, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' And everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." The process of salvation is simple. No one can come to the Father except the Father draws him. The lost sinner does not seek after God. God seeks after the sinner. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When God is working in a person's life, the Spirit of God convicts that person of sin and brings them to salvation. It is by the power of God. Let's move rapidly. Then look at verse 53. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. This is where he started losing them right here, because they didn't get it. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He said, I'm the bread of life. And he said, I am this man standing before you, this flesh and blood human being. I am the bread of life come from heaven who will give you eternal life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Now watch verse 60. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, man, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? They didn't understand, did they? They didn't get it. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words, here's the answer. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Lest you Baptists think I'm preaching heresy. You cannot be saved by baptism. Isn't that what we believe? You can't be saved by being a church member. You can't be saved because your grandma is saved and made you go to church. You can't be saved by doing good works. That's what Jesus is saying. You must have food that is eternal. He's saying you must receive me. You must turn away from the fleshly things, the works that you think will get you to heaven. You must turn away from the law that Moses gave to you in the wilderness to show you that you needed me. You must come to me. To me, Jesus is saying. Because there is life and none other. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus and only His way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He says it over and over and over and over again. Salvation begins and ends with God because He is the one who initiates it and He is the one who completes it. By his own power, according to his own way. I got to ask you the question. Why do you follow Jesus? Do you follow him so that when a crisis comes, you might get something out of him? Listen, the crisis is coming. Sooner or later, the crisis is coming. Sooner or later, devastation is coming. Sooner or later, you're going to be lost and alone. And there will be a time in your life when no human being can give you aid. There will be only one who can help you, and that's God. Only one. Why do you come to church? Why is it that after 9-1-1, the church is filled up with people for about 2 weeks and everything went back to normal? Because the crisis came. The crisis came. We were maybe going to war. But as soon as they figured out everything's okay, it's okay. Don't worry. Simon Peter's words are so profound. In verse 66, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. See, Peter already figured the things out. He already figured it out. Jesus is the Messiah. And his understanding was limited. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? One of you is a devil. And he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God, Jesus said. In John's epistle, Little John, Cotton calls it Little John. John chapter 1, or I'm going to for it, 1 John 5 says these words. Listen to this. This is the witness. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. We've not earned it. We've not deserved it. We can't get it on our own. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that? Do you know it? Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. When I'm good, I think I do. But when I'm bad, I don't think I do. So if my good outweighs my bad, I might be okay. That's not abundant life. That's prison. That's not salvation. That's living in dreaded fear, the unknown. Jesus said, I am the bread of eternal life. Receive of me, and you will live. Let's stand and pray together. Father, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Word of God. He is the Spirit of God. We believe, Lord, that we are hopeless and helpless unless You save us. I pray, Lord, against false conversion and false church members, false believers who have put their faith in themselves and their ability to perform. And I pray for the grace of God to come down and to smite the lost heart and draw men and women and boys and girls to the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Grant, Lord, your grace. Give us the gift of faith to believe. And let us, just like the beggar at the pool, get up and walk in eternal life. I want to ask you to keep your head bowed. And I want to ask you, every person in this room, to examine your life before a holy God. Do you have eternal life? Are you sure of it? If your tsunami came today, are you all right? Are you going to be in the presence of Jesus? Is your eternity set in Him? Or is it set in your church membership or baptism or something else? Your good works, your religion, your duty, your good works. What is your salvation based upon, beloved? There is no other way to be saved but by the grace of God. Settle the issue. Examine yourself before God. Yield your life to Him. As you sense in your heart that God is speaking to you, don't be afraid and don't be embarrassed to admit it. That you want to have assurance of salvation. That you don't want to live with the dread of hell hanging over you anymore. That you will seek God with your whole heart. And the Bible says He will let you find Him. Because if you have the desire to seek Him this morning, if you have a moving in your heart to settle your salvation once and for all before God, then that means that His Spirit is drawing you, the Father's drawing you to Himself. Don't put it off because He's not obligated to do it tomorrow. Respond to Him today. Open your life up to Him today. He knows you. He loves you. He gave His precious, sinless, holy Son to die on the cross so that you would be saved. Receive Him today, Lord Jesus. Just say it to Him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I receive You, Lord Jesus. I receive salvation. Say those things to Him. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for giving me new life. And then to every Christian in this room, every believer, I'm asking you to lay down your life for your friends. Lay down your life for your family. Lay down your life for all those who are lost. To lose everything of this world and all of the temporal things that we so tenaciously hold on to and give ourselves to the gospel. Do it. And you'll find your life. You hold your life to yourself. You hold on to the things of this world. You will lose. You'll lose. You give everything. Give your all to Him. You will find life. Life to the full.